Well, good morning, Isai. This is a unique way for us to interact this morning as we have an opportunity to study together from the scriptures in a new format for many of us. We've got Michael West and myself, and Jordan Oldag is with us this morning as well. Michael and I were talking about the need for more of the parts of Isai to be able to interact, and we asked Jordan to not only lead our opening prayer in a moment, but also to stay and participate in the video conference side of things. We think it's really important for the brethren at Eastside to be as knit together as we can, especially during a time and season of life where everything is tearing us apart. It's a pretty challenging emotional period for many folks. And Jordan, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I want to add one thing to the prayer list. I don't know if you've got a planned prayer for us, one of my friends from college, who actually ended up being related to us through some marriage and cousins, was identified as being positive for COVID-19 yesterday, the last couple of days. He is doing pretty well. His name is Derek. He's a member of the church up in Bowling Green. His family is isolated from everybody else. He's isolated from them. He has a very strong and healthy prognosis of recovery. So if you could include Derek and his family in our prayer this morning, as well as whatever else you've got for us, that'd be excellent. And whenever you're ready, Jordan, if you could lead us in prayer, we'll get into the text of Psalm 29.
Okay. Let's pray together real fast. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this Lord's Day that you've given us and this chance that we have to still be able to dive into the Word together and to be able to communicate with one another. Lord, during this time, there's so many strange things going on in our lives, and we're very thankful that you've given us the technology to be able to still see each other's faces, to be able to speak with one another, and be able to study things in unison together. Lord, we're thankful that during this time when it's so difficult for us to be able to see our family members and communicate, that you've given us a means to have such a large and great family like we do at Eastside. And we're thankful for all the relationships that brings along with it. We pray that you'd be with us during all of this, that you would help us to be a family who is focused on lifting each other up, focused on meeting the needs of all the members of the body here. We're a family that's focused on being there for one another and encouraging one another. Lord, at this time, we specifically pray that you be with all those who are sick in the church across the nation and across the world, that you be with all those who are in high-risk categories, that they will keep themselves safe, that they will be guided by you, they will be protected by you. And also, Lord, that you'll be with those who are specifically on our hearts, perhaps family members and friends that we know are already sick, perhaps people like the one that Philip mentioned, Derek and his family up in Bowling Green, those who are going through specifically hard times, maybe completely unrelated to all the recent events in the world. We pray that you be with them. We pray that you would comfort us as well, that you would help us to be people who look for your plan. We look for the encouragement and the strength that we can find during tough times, and people who look for the comfort that you offer us as well and the peace that you offer us through your Son. And Lord, specifically at this time, we pray that you be with us throughout this study, that you would help us to be a people who can still focus together, who can still grow together, and can still learn together and be comforted and be strengthened throughout all of these challenges that we're facing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Jordan. Michael, when you're ready, could you read Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11 for us as we step into the text?
Yes. Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord in the storm, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve, and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
So there's a lot that goes on here. And by the way, I just noticed that there's probably a little technical point. When I went live the second time, our title says Introduction to Judges. We're actually looking at Psalm 29. So if you're on one of our social media streams, I'll fix that later. Thanks for being part of this look at Psalm 29. Probably should have given myself a little bit of gray space between the Bible class and the exhortation time. We may have to adjust the schedule. There's a lot going on my end. The technical side is all magic wizardry and gnomes if you're not seeing it, but I've got a whole bunch of screens open trying to make sure everything runs just right. So apologize for that. And one other thing. I realized that at the close of our Bible study, I said that this thing takes place at 11. I'm not in charge of time zones and scheduling. That's why I write all that stuff down. We started at 10 a.m. We're going to try to finish at a reasonable time. Our sermons are usually 29 to 31 minutes. This study shall be 29 to 31 minutes, plus or minus. When it's the internet, things don't really matter as much sometimes. And I can laugh at myself, and everybody should, because we got a lot of stress in life.
We laugh at you all the time, Philip. It's okay.
It's all right, Jared. That's fine. Oh, Jordan, how you doing? It's a modestly inside joke. I'm sure that if you're part of East Side, you're laughing at me right now. And Arlo might pop in at some point and say hello to Jared as well. So, Psalm 29. Now, the Psalms are such a rich wordplay zone. The poetry of the Old Testament is brilliant to me, both in the way that I look at it, like it just shines so amazingly, even in some of the darkest Psalms, there's these wordplays there that are just like, they impact deeply the more you understand what God is trying to accomplish. So looking at the first two verses, which is really kind of maybe the first stanza, we'll use that as our terms. It's a little different technical terms, but stanza is probably a good way to think about it for right now. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. I will say that it's now the second Sunday since I have been able to assemble with the Christians at Eastside. For Michael, I think this is your third Sunday that you have not been able to assemble with the saints at Eastside. For Christians that I know and friends that I know, they have been isolated from their brethren for months now. Some of the brethren in China, for safety reasons, never get to be around more than 5, 6, 10 other believers on the first day of the week. And so Psalm 29 has some aspects of worship that I'm hoping will reframe our understanding of a personal approach to God. And this is my prediction, and people can prove me wrong, but the minute that the quarantine is lifted and we're encouraged and allowed to worship together, I am expecting record-breaking crowds at the Eastside congregation. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but that's what I'm expecting. Like, everybody is going to want to go out and see everybody else. I've seen some pretty funny memes and videos describing what that might look like. But that's what I'm anticipating. I know I'm going to feel that way. Michael?
You know, you mentioned how it's been a few weeks and we long to see each other. And you talk about our brethren in China. I think it brings to the forefront of my vision. We have local shut-ins around here that go months and months without seeing as many of our brethren as they should. And it helps me remember there's maybe some things I should be doing a better job of. And I'm only seeing that because of the situation that we're in now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some opportunities for growth personally and then structurally beyond that, just kind of seeing how other folks' spiritual conditions play out, how our spiritual condition impacts with all of that. You know, and the general introduction here is that God calls on men to praise Jehovah. Through the work of the psalmist, he says we should be offering praise. A comment that I saw last week was a stressor on many believers because they were like, wait, are we canceling worship? That stressed some people out. Jordan, did you hear some stress from that from folks that you knew?
I did, yeah. My home congregation back in Alabama, I know, has had some stressful times facing that as well, trying to rightly consider whether or not they're doing God's will by mm-hmm. not meeting together on these days. And I think it was Doy who posted a helpful thing about nobody can cancel worship. And yeah. I remember seeing that on Facebook, and it's a true point. And I assume that's why you directed us to the psalm, which is all full of these ideas about calling upon any time and in any time being able to see this power and the majesty of God, because that's worship. Yeah. That's worship happening at any moment. And so, yeah, that's a big issue right now.
Right. And look, Michael and I as shepherds, it was super stressful figuring out what to do because both he and I are highly committed to assembling with our brethren. This is actually potentially creating a condition where I will not have assembled with Christians for this many Sundays in a row ever in my life before. I'm not sure how I feel about that because I haven't gone through it yet. It's going to be weird, and it's still weird. And yet God is calling us to worship independent of our assembly plans. And I think that's the big contrast, because what most churches have done, and I cannot speak for anyone really more than Eastside, what we have been deciding to do is, for protection of the flock, dismiss our public assemblies, but admonish the reminder to worship. So we need to worship right now. And so everybody should be in worship. And we also kind of left room for individual liberty there. If there's something that you need to partake of at home, then we want you to do that. If there's a way that you can worship God that does not involve the public assemblies at Eastside, then please do so. We want our brethren to be strong and to survive spiritually and physically. And so those are challenges for all of us. Michael?
I think this is the perfect psalm for right now, because when we go through this and we see the storm, the lightning, and the thunder and God's power of it all, metaphorically, we're going through a storm right now. And too many times in our world, we tend to worship the wrong things. We put ball players up on a pedestal. We put politicians up on a pedestal. And we need to be reminded during this storm, we need to worship God.
Yeah, there's some imagery here specifically as we get into the verses around 3-9, that there is like a painting of God that is painting out who he is in the midst of a kind of a thunderstorm picture, which if you're familiar with the text of Job, is another way that God represents himself to mankind, but also is kind of similar to how God represents himself to Israel at the Mount. The thundering voice of God and the brightness of his glory impacts Moses so much that when he comes down from the mountain, Israel can't see him. And yet they are still called to praise him. And it starts in the heavenly realms. I think this is something I didn't emphasize already, but I want to kind of double back down on. I just remember when I moved my Bible, everyone else's Bible moves. But in verses 1 and 2, it's really looking at the heavenly hosts, the angelic realm or the unseen realm. You worship. Here's the side note. We say this phrase, like, when one is returned to God, the angels in heaven rejoice. And then we say we rejoice with them sometimes as a kind of an accommodative term. Well, when we worship God, whether apart or together, we have the opportunity to rejoice with the heavenly realm too. We can create that kind of joy now and need to. Bill, I think it is, or Bill and Cecilia, one of the two of them said, are we making God small in the midst of this? I think that's a challenge for all of us. We need to remember he's not. The governmental rights are an issue and how they respond to all of this. But in the end, the challenge we're in, not that much different than the Chinese brethren. They've been struggling with it for a long time, and we may have to make choices after this that are challenging for us. But right now, let's praise God.
I think that hits Jordan. The nail on the head in a lot of ways, because it's during times like this where God either becomes really big to us or really small.
Yeah.
A lot of this psalm is all about the power of God that's displayed. And when I think about what are the powerful things in the world, I think about that little microscopic virus that has thrown everything off. And then I think about lawmakers who were tossing around $2 trillion. And when I think about stuff like that, I think, man, that's a powerful situation to be in. You know, they have a lot on their mind. They have the weight of the world swinging in their hands. And that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what God's doing all the time and even today. And so I feel like it's times like this, God either becomes the biggest thing to us or he becomes even smaller to us.
Yeah, definitely so. I think also kind of playing off the scope of how the governments and the medical organizations respond to it. Brethren, we sometimes do that. We take a big issue and make it small. We make a small issue big in our personal interactions with one another. And then God, as he is, does what he does and brings us a thunderstorm that says, hey, did you remember the things that were important? Did you remember the things that mattered? There's a conflict or tension in the world that we ignore, where Jehovah and the devil are still doing their dance, if you will. And Jehovah, I believe, still has the theological concept of, have you considered my servants? And the devil still comes to him and says, you built a hedge around them. And in as much as the devil does the damage, God moves the hedge. He trusts us in the same way that we need to trust him. That's the aspect of free will that we're not happy with, because we want to be protected. We want to be kept up in a little tight little cocoon. But he lets us out in the thunderstorms. He says, go run free. And so when we look at verses 3-9 here, there's a couple of things that I think are important for us to see before we get into the text itself, just reading it and understand that the picture that's shown here in these verses, this is a typical thunderstorm in the context of Israel's visual knowledge. Different parts of America have different types of natural weather things. So if you live on the West Coast, you've got natural occurrences like earthquakes and seasonal droughts. You live down in Florida, hurricanes. You live in the tornado belt, tornadoes. Southeast, we get some heavy rainfall and some heavy thunderstorms that other folks maybe don't necessarily see or recognize. I remember talking to my wife when we moved here to the south, and she's like, I've never been in a storm where it rains so hard that I can't see. Because that's not Northwest. It rains all the time, but never like this. So when we read through verses 3-9, this is the picture of a storm that's typical for the Israelite. Like, they knew these kind of storms. And so when the poet uses it, it's familiar to them. And it's powerful. There's three phrases that come up in verses 3 and 7. The waters, the thunder, and the lightning. And God's voice is represented by all of them. And it's God's work in that. So that's kind of structurally what we see there. Like, it's just a familiar picture. And so picture the most powerful, aspect of the interactions of how we've seen those thunderstorms in life. Get those rolling in your head before we pay attention to the practicalities of the text is kind of my point there. Before we go into the text, though, Jordan or Michael, you guys got anything? By the way, Jordan, you can raise your hand in the app, too. There's a little button. Michael's figured that one out. We use that sometimes because I can easily be distracted by all the things that are going on here, but I tend to watch for that. Or to speak up. That's fine, too. So going forward into the text, picking up verse 3, verse 4. Jordan, you want to read that for us, verses 3 and 4 particularly?
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
All right, so in all of that, you're beginning to kind of see some new pictures play out and some new images shown to us in this section. The thundering voice of the storm. You know, it's pictured as it moves off the Mediterranean and crosses the Lebanon mountain range, and it breaks into the cedars of Lebanon as this picture kind of lays itself into verse 5. And you think about the way a voice carries. That's really the path of God's power demonstrating everything to us. Think back to the creation of the temple. What was the structural materials that were used, though? These powerful cedars. Think back to the poetic promises to the tribes. What was given there, some of them are described as, again, this is how you're going to be. And then the Lord's voice comes in and snaps them. I remember seeing imagery of the tornado that fled, that wreaked havoc in Middle Tennessee. And you had like trailers on tops of roofs, which is a pretty typical thing in the context of, you know, the storms of that type. We don't behave that way. You know, if I ask, and I'll ask this question for folks who are following on, if you've lived in a tornado alley zone, did you get into your storm shelter every time the warning went off? I would say, honestly, we did not do it at the level of diligence that probably was wise. Michael? Jordan?
You know, when we think about the voice of the Lord and thunder, thunder shakes us. When it's really loud and it's really on top of you, it startles you and it causes you to jump. And I'm thinking about this storm, thinking about Peter and the apostles, and they're thinking they're going to perish. And Jesus can calm that. And whatever storm it is we're going through, we need to be reminded that he controls that.
Yeah, absolutely. A few other things to kind of bring into the text as we kind of move to the next phase of this is to pay attention to the rest of the story. So Jordan read verses 3 and 4. Michael, would you reread for us verses 5 through 9 to kind of bring that back up to the top of the table again?
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Saron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory.
So probably like three or four times a year, it seems like, somebody posts a funny video of some sort of farm animal that's made his way into the city and wreaks havoc on everything. Either it's just funny, like he's just blocking traffic, or it really gets inside of something and starts tearing something up. Sometimes it's a wild animal. I've seen videos of elk and deer, like massive big critters in there. And those who are unfamiliar with big animals typically don't know what to do. Like, how do you make this thing move? I remember the first time that I was, as a grown human, not a little kid, in a pen you know, out in the field with an actual cow. Like, not a calf, a full-grown milk cow. And I'm like, what do I do? I had no idea how to make it go anywhere. And guess what it did? Nothing. You know, it's like, I'm a big guy and didn't know how to move it. And eventually through education and training and encouragement and laughter, I have learned how to safely maneuver the bovine creature to the places where it needs to go. And none of them are easy. None of them are like, be gentle and kind like you would to a small child. They're pretty rough. It takes a lot of effort to move a cow. And then I see this wordplay here in the text of the Psalms. He makes he makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Okay, so that's a little critter hopping around. But now Lebanon hops like that. And so you've got this really kind of slightly comedic word picture, but now it's in a sense of power. Like, how can Lebanon hop like that? How can God do that? And the image is partly earthquake and partly God's power. And so you kind of magnified all of that, and God is doing that because verse 8, he makes the earth to shake.
Yeah, I think verse 4 here, verse 6, it cracks me up because you're going on with all this stuff about large animals, and you're right. I grew up on, we raised goats and sheep, and they're very different from cows. But once they're full-grown adults, they're basically the same. All they want to do all day is stand still, eat, and lay down and not do anything else. And so maybe they're like people in that way as well.
True.
But when they're small, whenever you have that little lamb or that little goat kid who is just a few days old, they are bouncing everywhere. If you've watched the musical scenes in Bambi or Fantasia or something, you always see like these hilarious, you know, artist renditions of this animal just hopping constantly, prancing across the field. And that's what they look like. They're nonstop energy, bouncing everywhere, going this way and that way, can't tell where they're going or what's moving them. And I love the fact that he's describing nations in that way. And you're right. A big part of this is the earthquake terminology that he's using. He's shaking them around.
Yeah.
But I think about stuff and just controlling the path of the nation. Oh, man, U.S. is moving right now. We're hopping.
Yeah.
We're jumping this way. We're jumping that way. We aren't used to this kind of energy. We're used to laying still and going steady and getting our food and everything being pretty constant. But now we're moving. And to us, that's pretty scary. You know, to us, that's really different and not what we're used to at all. But you know who's in control of that? Who's making that happen? It's the powerful one.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it necessarily less scary, but it does redirect your attention about where it's actually coming from.
Yeah, there's a sense of shock that comes. Like verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. You're like, okay, it's time. You know, almost every new parent I know pre-plans their trip to the hospital under the theory that it's going to happen when we don't expect it. And then it happens when they don't expect it, and they don't do any of the thing that they plan to do, and they do a bazillion other things instead, and none of it makes any difference. The planning or the response, because there's a sense of emotive surprise to every inch of that. And I think that's a last thing, because you look at verse 9's closure. And strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. So verse 1, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord honor, greatness, goodness, grandness. The heavenly hosts are praising his presence. Verse 9, we've seen who he is. He's in our presence now. The only thing they can do is say glory, because they have seen the totality of whom God is in all of these wonderful pictures. We've got verses 10 and 11 to close out here. Let me read those real quick for us. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. In all of that, you think about how much that's a message that you and I need right now. In our Bible class that Jared and I just did, we talked accommodatively that basically Judges is a dumpster fire. And if you're familiar with that imagery, it makes all kinds of sense. But then Psalm 29 tells us that God, from the bank, on the storm, in all settings and in all places, he sits on the throne and he blesses his people with peace. Like, that's more than normal. I think most folks desperately want a sense of peace and normalcy. Michael?
And this storm that we're in, storms are going to come from time to time. But if we remember that, as you're stressing, this is temporary. Matter of fact, this whole world is temporary. I need to make sure that my peace is knowing that God is king forever. And I need to serve him. So I have that hope of eternity, hope of heaven with him in eternity. And keep in mind that this stuff's temporary and heaven is eternal. That's where we can get that peace.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that should be the resounding truth, that when Jesus mentioned heaven on when he was on earth. He always couched it on this is where we need to be looking. He always credited the reality of things like store up your treasures in heaven where moth nor rust destroy. Put your heart there. Desire to be there. Live in a way that you're a sojourner here. You're on a journey here, but that's your home. And all of these things that afflict us in various ways, that I believe is a key unifier. That heaven is a destination that brings stability and strength. And all the little challenges, they'll eventually work themselves out. God will do what God's going to do. We need to trust him when the storms rage, when the thunder rolls, when the banks seem unsteady. That's a reminder for all of us. We're going to be finishing up here in just a second, but if I missed something that the two of you wanted to bring into the text, please do so now. I'll try to close this out in a moment.
I'll try to be very quick about this. Sure. You making another delineation between our earthly worship and heavenly peace, how much better does that make heaven? And it makes me think back to verse 1 and 2, because when I first started reading the psalm, the first line is, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." David is telling, translation issues might be a problem here, but he's telling angels how to worship, which to me seems entirely backwards. But then there's other times where we think about we're made lower than the angels, yet we get to judge. We get to do things over them. And it's because of the rest of this psalm. Why do we get to tell angels how to worship? Well, it's because we go through stuff they don't. We go through storms. We go through these jumping, these earthquakes, these sicknesses. We go through all this stuff. And even though some of the best worship and glory songs in all the Bible are from angels, we get to learn something better than that. Yeah. We get to learn how to worship even better than that. And then we get that peace layered even on top of it. So how much more of a blessing is it than even the angels here? And that's a beautiful thing to me.
Yep. Michael, last comment?
No,
okay,
good.
We're good. So a couple things. Quick general apology. If we made a technical mistake, there's a level of learning that's going on, even though I've been doing this for a long time in some daily studies. Having more participants and trying to incorporate everybody into the assembly has been some new challenges for us, but I think we're doing pretty well. I want to encourage everybody at the close of this that on this day, as in every day, to give God honor and glory, to be respectful to the rules of the land, and to make that very difficult balance between conviction and commitment to God, but respect to our governing authorities, a priority for each of us as individuals. It's not going to be easy going forward. We're going to close with prayer in a moment, and I'll leave that in our prayer, and then our live feed for Sunday will be finished. If you would, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing that it is to be able to connect with our brethren and to offer praise together through whatever means that we can find, and to find sanctity, security, and faith in your word. Help us to grow from our understanding of who you are and who we are in the midst of the storms of this day. Help us see the honor that is presented to us in service and the glory that is found in sacrifice. Watch over our souls. Watch over the souls of the saints at Eastside. Keep us safe, and as always, protect us from the evil one who seeks to devour our souls daily. This is our prayer in the name of your Son. Amen. Thanks, everybody. I hope you all have a fabulous day.
Thanks, guys. See y'all later.